I think we're making a terrible mistake right now.
You do? Yeah. What's that?
We're playing this music from Top Gun, which is a movie about naval aviators. Just ask them. They all like to tell you about how they made a movie about them.
True.
And a lot of people say to Air Force pilots, they say, hey, love Top Gun. And then Air Force pilots go, that was the Navy. To a man or a woman.
Mm-hmm.
They'll correct you. They will correct you. They are the Lauren Lapka of the armed forces. They are the ones that are going to go, hey, no, that's not right.
It's a tough job. Someone's got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a job where you're very alert on this program because number of occasions when that's warranted.
Now we have we bring on Adam Kinsey. We always play that Top Gun music, but because not only because he's a pilot, but he's an Air Force pilot, not a Navy pilot. But we play it because he likes to take his shirt off, and that was the shirtless volleyball game, and that's all I can.
Who could forget?
That's all I can think of. And when I think of Adam, I think of the shirtless volleyball game. Anyway, the point is this.
Okay.
Yesterday, and I want to ask you about this, Congressman. Yesterday, we had Mike Flannery on the program. He's a political editor over at Fox 32.
Mm-hmm.
And he dropped something like it was hot, that you are under consideration for Secretary of the Air Force. Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay, so two things. First off, hi, guys.
Hi.
We'll take Top Gun because the Air Force's movie was Iron Eagle, and that really is not that cool, right? Chappie Sinclair. So we'll stick with the Navy for cool factor. But in terms of the Air Force Secretary position, there's been conversations. I can't go into a lot of detail of that. What I've made clear is I fully intend to ride in for Congress. I love this job. I love the district. If the president ends up calling me and asking me to take this position, come up, certainly look at it. It's a real transformative moment for the Air Force, and I think it could bring a lot to the fight.
Yeah, and with that, now, is the Space Force going to start with the Air Force, or is it moving, or are they starting their own things separately?
Yeah, no, it's looking like they're on track to be something like the Marine Corps is to the Navy, so in essence an independent branch, but under the Department of the Navy. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Space Force is going. And I actually think it's good because, SpaceX is huge. It's the next to the final frontier. And so to have a force dedicated to that while you still have a force dedicated to, bombs on target, air refueling, moving goods, I think is good. It's really two different mission sets in terms of the mix. The idea of an added bureaucracy, but I also think, for the future of warfare.
Well, what we're going to do when, if and when you become the Air Force Secretary, we're going to get you a better phone. I think that's the most important thing.
Communications are important.
Yes, I think they're important. I'm not sure, so we're going to fix that right now. We're going to get him just that.
Yeah, we'll get him a phone as a congratulatory gift.
As AFSEC, as they like to call it. Everything in the military is just a bunch of letters smushed together.
Uh-huh.
And you're supposed to know what they mean.
You're supposed to decode them on the go. It's very difficult. I was just at a military ceremony in Colorado Springs 2 weekends ago, and I was lost a couple times. I had my phone out. What does that mean?
He's not SyncPAC, but he's
SyncPAC.
SyncPAC, Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific. That's like the naval thing.
Oh.
SyncPAC Nav. And what they do is they just take three letters of everything and they just smush them together and you're supposed to interpret what the hell it means.
Are you called secretary then? Or what would you be? What, on, you would always be called secretary.
Yes.
Huh.
He's Madam Secretary. He's Mr. Secretary as far, I just remember the TV show, as far as the eye can see. So if you're secretary, like he'd be congressman. Actually, it's interesting.
What would it be?
We just had an ambassador on. Ambassador is the only title you keep for life.
Stays with you.
Right. It's the only title that you can say former congressman if you were to leave.
Uh-huh.
But secretary, I think, also stays with you. I guess you got to say former secretary.
Oh.
Former secretary. Because we don't have him secretary yet. But we get him to secretary, then we'll make him a former secretary. Because I'll put him on and he'll say something and it'll be all over.
I think we heard him just say there, though, that he wants to run as congressman, but if the opportunity happens that he could get this sort of chance to be in that position, that he'd jump at it.
Yes.
And that's a pretty special thing to be considered for.
Oh, my gosh.
Think about it.
As a kid who grew up in the Air Force, he's like, there's a guy that, you know, one day you would become the Secretary of the Air Force. And Secretary of the Air Force is, the secretaries are civilians. Mm-hmm. They're not military. They can be former military, but they're not active duty military. They wear suits, not uniforms.
So, is it a budgeting role, or is it a like what kind of a
you represent the Air Force to the government? So you're a secretary. You're a cabinet level secretary.
Got it.
And you then you report to the Joint Chiefs for budgeting purposes, and you report to Congress and to the executive branch as a as the representative, civilian representative of the of that branch of the military. It's always how those have been done. Mm-hmm. Those secretary gigs have been done. So you got Secretary of Army, Secretary of Navy, Secretary of the Air Force.
So you'd represent budgeting concerns, but also any other concerns that would...
No, you run the whole damn thing.
You run the whole darn thing.
You're the civilian in charge.
Gosh, that's crazy.
Then you've got the chairman. You've got the Joint Chiefs. So you got the Chief of the Air Force, and that's part of the Joint Chiefs. This is separate. This would be a civilian. We were just saying, Adam, we got you on a better phone now.
The role.
That you'd wear a suit to work. You don't wear a uniform.
Yeah. If you were to wear a suit to work, and, I'd still walk around with the swagger of a pilot, of course, but yeah, it's a cool position. It's you look at it, you're technically under the Secretary of Defense. You're the military obviously is under civilian leadership, and so you do a lot of the policy and ceremonial stuff. So it's definitely something I think would be cool if I was offered it. I can't go into any conversations.
Yeah, I understand.
But
I'm playing a little fantasy game here because I remember when you were, I think you were a taxi driver when I first met you. So
come a long way.
Yeah. So
I was driving you home from the bar at 4 a.m.
Oh, tell.
You know what? In my book, I'm going to write the real true story of what happened that night.
What happened was.
Yeah, if when the FBI shows up and goes, what is it that you know about Congressman Kinzinger? I'm going to go, I've had a head injury, so I can't really recall.
Recall, not good.
So anyway, this is very, very exciting.
It is.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I want to get the cart ahead of the horse here, but I think it's a pretty cool thing. All right, let's talk a little bit about what happened in Congress over the last couple of hours. First of all, the House Judiciary Committee has voted along party lines to hold the Attorney General in contempt. Now, that goes to the full House for a vote. Eric Holder was under contempt for like 5 straight years, right?
Yeah.
For something. I mean, sometimes these moves are pretty political. Do you think this makes much of a difference?
No, and I think it's a political move. And here's, you look at this. He agreed to come testify, and then the Democrats, I've never seen this happen in the House. They said, we're going to have lawyers ask you questions. By the way, lawyers they hired for the purpose of impeachment. And he said, look, you're changing the game on me, so I can't testify, but I want to continue negotiation. And they're like, no, we'll just hold you in contempt. And, this is at the peril, Democrats' own peril, because I think, if they get too deep down this kind of impeachment rabbit hole or holding everybody in contempt, I think there's a lot of Mueller / investigation fatigue, and that's the danger they run. Look at it. It's like, hey, you guys run the House, so do what you want. But I think this is at your own peril.
Does it start to make him look bad in the eyes of some people who there's potentially more investigations underway that his office would head up, and that this somehow taints his reputation? Is that,
are you talking about William Barr?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to change. We are so polarized that, the people that like Trump and like William Barr will like William Barr. The people that don't, won't. And I don't think there's much in this moment, and it's sad, and it really does concern me, that can change people's minds. And, as a guy that tries to be, look, I'm a conservative Republican. I try to be, so I look at it through that lens, but I try to be as kind of calling balls and strikes as I can out here. We need more of that. We're just in a moment where I don't think anything is going to change people's opinions on this. And I think, again, the Democrats run the risk of, Russia Mueller fatigue and people looking at going, well, what are you achieving? I mean, today we voted on basically nothing, and that's how it's been the last few months here, because they've been focused on one thing. And Mueller didn't give them the report they wanted, and they weren't going to let that stop.
Right. Well, and that's – well, I don't know – I would disagree with you on that. I'm not sure that Mueller didn't give them the report that they wanted. I think that he didn't give them the outcome that they were necessarily looking for, but he did give them a report, and the the four-page summary of that report doesn't really capture it in its full glory.
No, but now you have the report. Like, I get the four-page summary, but that was a letter that existed without the report for like a week, and now the report's out.
Right.
And by the way, on the redactions, there's a significantly less redacted report that was offered for Jerry Nadler to come view, and he's refused to go view it. And there's got to be some redactions, and what they're saying is, well, I want a completely unredacted report. Well, that violates federal law. You can't do that.
Yeah. Listen, again, as you're pointing out, it's just it's Looney Tunes over there.
Yeah,
I don't know
it
if since you are, since there is this conversation around you maybe moving to, the Pentagon, I'll ask you, maybe you can't comment on it, but the situation where we're moving the fleet to the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Aden, trying to make sure that the Straits of Hormuz stay open. Because the Iranians, we found the Iranians moving ballistic missile material.
Yeah. And I think it's the right move. We got intelligence that there was at least what I've seen in open source, that there was movements of short range missiles to basically obstruct the Straits of Hormuz. And if you look at that, if the Iranians shut down that strait, it immediately stops 30% of oil exports. It would be devastating to the energy markets, and that's international waters. It's not their waters. So. It's been a threat they've been saying a long time, and there's a real concern that they would actually try to do that. And I think responding to something like that with strength actually prevents, a chance of fighting more than if you would have responded with weakness.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. It seems to be getting hotter, not cooler out there
everywhere
right now. Yeah, for sure. All right, Congressman, thank you very much.
Thanks, Congressman.
You bet.
All right, thank you.
Sorry for the phone problem.
Yeah,
take care.
No worry. Put your shirt back on. Thanks, Mike.
I will.
We need an undersecretary. Ro Khan might be available.
Don't worry.
You didn't hear that.
No. He's right. Heard it already. you don't have to worry about that. All right, let's check in now and find out what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Another victim recovered at the site of the plant explosion in Waukegan.
Lawrence Traffic brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems.